resilient is Russia's economy with Putin as president? Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report and we're coming to you live from the BBC World Service. Listen, it's no surprise that Vladimir Putin was re-elected as Russia's president since there was no real opposition. Now President Putin says he'll boost the military and prioritise the war in Ukraine. So, did he say anything about the economy? Let's ask Vitaly Shevchenko, Russia editor at BBC Monitoring. Hello.
Good morning.
Vladimir Putin's economic policies, do they in any way factor into his re-election strategy?
His re-election strategy, it was so focused on the war, or this special military operation, as he insists on calling it, that the economy wasn't really a huge part of it. Having said that, in his speeches leading up to the election, one point Vladimir Putin kept making was that Russia's economy is doing well despite all the Western sanctions imposed on Russia. And he has a point. Russia's economy is expanding and is expected to grow. Some say that this growth is unsustainable because it's largely based on war spending, on missiles and tanks, and it's to a significant degree undermined by brain drain. So many young and capable people have left Russia because of the special military operation.
But what about for people on the ground? Have they felt any impact at all from the fact that there are these sanctions, or are they bolstered by this war economy?
Well, if you look at the shelves in Russia's shops, the impact is pretty much negligible. Okay, some Western brands are gone. Some are still there. Some have been replaced by brands from the Far East or even the Middle East. But there are no shortages. And even though it's become more difficult or expensive to do things like servicing your car, for example, it's still possible. And speaking of cars, one big shift that's happened in Russia is that Chinese brands are replacing Western brands. So this is just one example of how this works. There are no shortages, but the way Russia's marketplace is looking, it's different now.
Okay. Vitaly Shevchenko, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's time to do your favourite, the numbers. Mainland China's CSI 300 index closed up after official data suggested that factories in China produced more in the first 2 months of the year. And in Cuba, hundreds of people are protesting over shortages of fuel and food in its second city, Santiago. President Miguel Díaz-Canel is calling for calm, but blaming the US for the unrest. Cuba is also dealing with widespread power blackouts. Protesters have been camping in the forest outside Elon Musk's Tesla factory in Germany. Plans to expand the plant, which employs 12,000 people, have been facing fresh environmental protests, Tesla says. It's creating sustainable factories there and is enhancing biodiversity. The BBC's Jessica Parker reports from the state of Brandenburg.
In a pine forest about 30 kilometres outside Berlin, I climb a ladder.
This feels pretty sturdy.
This is one of several tree houses making up the camp near Europe's only Tesla factory. These activists want to frustrate plans for the factory's expansion into the forest. But as I find out from one of the campaigners, Magpie, their protest is about much more.
We don't want to cut this forest down. We want to save or to protect the water here. But also it's like a more international fight because, of course, electric cars also use minerals, which also cause a lot of problems in, for example, Chile or Bolivia.
There's been some suggestion some of you guys are basically professional campaigners turning up at lots of protests wherever they may be.
Of course, some people are here who are doing this often or sometime, but also a lot of people here who live in the village, Grünheide, are like coming here and helping us. Yeah, I also have to work.
The idea, of course, is to make a looming eviction particularly hard for the authorities. A At a railway nearby, we bump into commuters. A majority of residents in the local town voted against the plans, but views are split. The expansion proposals include a kindergarten for employees, warehouses and a freight train station.
I moved to Grünheide 20 years ago because we wanted to be close to the nature and we didn't expect that we would have this kind of factory here.
Most of the Tesla employees are happy that Tesla is providing work places. I personally don't really understand the motivations of the people camping here and attacking our power system.
That attack on the power system was a suspected arson attack on an electricity pylon that led to factory production being suspended for a week. Campaigners at the camp say that was not them. In fact, far-left militant activists called the Volcano Group have claimed responsibility. Police are investigating.
Unstoppable force.
A Tesla video sent the message that the factory was booming back to life. Elon Musk even visited the plant, having described the pylon saboteurs as dumb eco-terrorists. Meanwhile, Tesla says it wants to create sustainable factories and support local communities. But American powerhouse capitalism is meeting radical German eco-activism. It's likely that battle isn't over yet. In Germany, I'm the BBC's Jessica Parker for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.